It's the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air, your weekly local sports podcast. And now, here's your hosts, Greg Revels and Tony Stowers.
We are back with episode 7, season 3 of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air. And we have Jeff Tuttle with us today, Tyler.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
hi,
with, King with some new ink.
Yes.
Looks very good, doesn't
That's
it?
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
A little disappointed in the Razorbacks Saturday night.
Yo, I just wonder
I can't erase this.
How many times you're going to regret that tattoo?
Never. I will never regret it.
More popular than tattoos right now is tattoo removal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Greg Revels, as they say in the newscasting business, has the night off.
Yes, yes, he does.
He is on the bench.
Yes.
At the beach.
He's on the beach. Like, at the bench.
Well, he's on the bench today.
Vacation? Too. Is sixth vacation this summer, I think?
Man, it's good to be the king.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Ask LeBron.
The number of focus for this episode is 51.
Yes.
And there is a bunch more than you would ever dream of. Of course, first is Dick Butkus. I mean, maybe the best linebacker of all times. He's definitely in the top five, depending whether you put him ahead or behind Jack Lambert.
I was going to say, and this doesn't even have anything to do with numbers, but I was going to say he's definitely in the top two meanest. And Jack Lambert would have been right
the
there.
Other one. I probably told this story before. They asked me and Joe Green, why'd they call you mean? He goes, I don't know. Jack Lambert's the meanest guy I know.
Yeah. So,
Randy Johnson. Ichiro, 51. Trevor Hoffman. Brian Cox, another mean linebacker. he had an edge to him. New York Yankee outfielder Bernie Williams. Sam Mills, another really good linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. The Saints had a run on linebackers there for a while where they were really good on that second line. Willie McGee. That one kind of surprised me a little bit. Mm. Ken Norton Jr. And then James Ferrier, linebacker for the Steelers and the Jets. And this one, probably a better football player than commentator, but Randy Cross was number 51. So we had a bunch this week.
Awesome.
No Razorbacks that we can think of. No. I'm sure somebody knows one. Somebody's got a family member going on, probably Cody.
Cody will be informing us of the 51 that we missed.
You mentioned Ichiro, or however people like to say it. Interesting fact about him that I've always found interesting. That's what was on his uniform. He's the only baseball player I know that had his first name on his uniform.
Yeah.
Because Suzuki was his last name.
Yeah.
And
maybe they wouldn't give him any money to advertise for
maybe
him.
Not. Maybe he should have went with Yamaha.
Changed his name to Honda.
Yeah. Lots of number 51s.
Absolutely.
I see Marjanovic from the Rockets.
He's there you go.
Tall guy. That tall guy.
That's the tall guy. See,
yeah, the tall guy from the Houston Rockets.
I think that's what his wife calls him.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't know. Go ask the tall guy.
Nobody's ever said that when I was around.
No me neither.
No.
Let's talk about the DeQueen Leopards. DeQueen with the big win at Lafayette County, 49-18. And game did not start well as Lafayette County broke off a 77-yard run around their left side, our right side, and scored 17 seconds into the ball game. But after that, it was all Leopards.
Great.
And I know Coach Bell, he concentrated. Walters, number 23 for Lafayette County, the whole week was focused on stopping him. They did not stop him. They may have contained him.
Mm.
And that's really what you need to beat the Cougars, is just not let him go totally off on you.
Right, right.
And that's exactly what happened. Leopards rack up 358 total yards. Had 21 points in the first period, 21 points again in the third period, and kind of cruised in the fourth period. Big games, Landon Wise, 13 carries, 180 yards and two touchdowns. Rylan Pickett, 8 carries, 91 yards, two touchdowns. Jake Martin, the Leopards have hit 10 of their last 11 passes,
yeah.
Tyler.
Yeah.
We'll have to ask Jay Bunyard to go back in the record books and find out the last time the Leopards hit 10 out of 11 passes.
Yeah.
Jake Martin also rushed for 45 yards. Kyle Williamson, 9 tackles, a tackle for loss, a fumble recovery. Luis Sotelo, 7 tackles, 4 passes defended. And he had 41 yards on the ground.
Excellent.
Like the whole state, the Leopards are on the bye this week. Mm-hmm. Everybody's off.
Yeah.
Nobody to go watch play anywhere Friday night.
Well, unless you drop Mina. No, Mina's not playing either. It's Ashdown.
Ashdown's playing.
Okay. They're the only of the 8 teams we cover. Ashdown is the only one playing Friday night.
They're at home?
They are at home.
They are
home. Against
he's useful.
Yeah, they're against the Idabel Warriors this week. This is their last non-conference game.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. See y'all there.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to meet in Ashdown to watch the Panthers.
But everybody's going to be handling it differently, right? Like, you got the Leopards are on a hot 2 winning streak, and they're going into a bye week. I wonder what the mentality is going into that.
Well, I think the confidence is high. Mm-hmm. I think that we beat Hope pretty bad last mm-hmm. year, and that's the team we play following the bye. And then, you know, it gets thank you, AAA. Thank you, Greenwood. It gets a lot harder after that, you know, as the Park Views and Hot Springs and Lakesides and Fairviews and Arkansas Highs of the world line up the schedule. But the Leopards are playing really well right now, as well as I can remember them playing in a long time, and I'll go as far as to say I think they're playing better than they were playing at this point last year.
So the
Hope Bobcats are on deck. That'll be September 26th, and we caught up with Richard Bell and got to talk to him.
Coach Richard Bell, the DeQueen Leopards, and DeQueen with a big win over Lafayette County Friday night. Other than a couple of big plays, which, you know, we were kind of afraid of, But other than that, I thought the Leopards played well and pretty much had their way.
Yeah, on defense all week, we worked on making sure that we contained, you know, number 23. He's got a lot of speed, and very first play of the game, you know, I went into a 5-3 look and walked down my safety to cover the outside. And sure enough, he bit all the way in and even crossed the center line. So I was watching it on film. I was like, how are we going to work something for 3 days in a row and then, you know, I'll give up the outside. But that was quickly fixed on the sideline after that happened. And then we did a pretty good job of controlling him. He had another big run where our defensive end had him dead to rights, and they absolutely tackled our defensive end and got him back. But he was a heck of a player. You know, so yeah, but on defense, I thought we played well. Offensively, our O-line and our slots played an outstanding game. I know everybody sees, you know, the slots running and scoring, but what's great to see is that the two slots have to block for each other. So if Luis is running it, Landon's got to get a good block. If Landon's running it, Luis and Ryland got to have a good block. So the backs really blocked well for each other and sprung them on some big runs. So, yeah, I was excited.
Well, you know, if you didn't see the game on DQ TV or, you know, was there in person, I believe the young man's name was Walters. That was 23 at Lafayette County. And while the Cougars weren't very deep, that young man could play for anybody.
Yes, he definitely was one of the faster guys, you know, that we'll see. And we're in a big conference, you know, being in Hot Springs Lakeside and Camden Fairview and Parkview. He's one of those guys that, you know, he has speed that can match anybody that they have. So there's a couple of times we had the angle on him and still couldn't catch him. So he's definitely a heck of a player.
Well, you know, also, I was really impressed with Jacres Munoz, coach. You all had a plan. You wasn't going to kick it deep. And all night, I mean, it looked like Groundhog Day. He kicked the same kick all night and no return yardage for the Cougars, which I'm sure is a big part of their game.
Yeah, so we had looked on film and saw 13 and 23, which was, you know, the main guys in their offense that likes to run jet sweep with 13. And, of course, 23 is, you know, the best player.
Right.
They had them back deep. And I saw number 55, who was their inside linebacker, sitting there short. And me and Coach Parsons decided to kick it to him. I was like, he's either going to return it, it's not going to be very fast, or he's going to fair catch it or drop it. And he ended up fair catching it the entire game. So that was a big thing for us, not let them get out in space and let their athletes, you know, pop a quick one on us.
Yeah, we don't want to jinx him, but the young man's also perfect on extra points this year. So
he's doing
a good job.
Jekers did a good job on kicking the ball, but I'll tell you what, we had a corner go down late in the game, and Jackers is our backup corner, and we try to keep him healthy because he's a, you know, our kicker too. But we put him in at corner, and that kid had some big hits. He hit a guy, caused a fumble, made some good tackles, broke up some passes. So he's going to get a little bit more playing time, even though we try to save him as kicker. He's going to get some more playing time at that corner spot this next week.
He did play well on defense. Speaking of the defense, you had some good performances out there. Kyle Williamson, you know, we did what we pretty much come to expect from him.
Oh, yeah. Kyle's, you know, he's a good player no matter where you put him. You know, it's always an adjustment when you change positions, especially from D-line to linebacker. Because, you know, D-line, there's a whole lot less reading. You know, you're basically, you know, attacking downhill, outside shoulder, setting the edge, or train wrecking. And then at linebacker, you got to read the backfield. You got to read the, you know, the receivers, the quarterback. There's different gaps you got to fill. And he's coming into his own at linebacker right now. I think he ended up having 8 or 9 tackles. You know, just had a really good game for Kyle Friday night.
Yeah. And Jake Martin, I don't know if you realize it or not, has hit 10 of his last 11 passes. You probably have to go back a pretty good ways, maybe to Drew Dykes. In Leopard history to find a Leopard quarterback who has been that accurate. We didn't have to throw the ball Friday night, but it's nice to know we can if we need to.
Yeah, the best thing about Martin being back there is the time that he has to throw it. Our O-line is doing a great job of protecting Jake and giving him the opportunity to put the ball down the field. And I think he has really come a long way since the first week when we played Mina on throwing the ball. You know, he's got more confidence, got a little swagger out there. You know, he's just more comfortable in the pocket. And I think I'm hoping that that's going to continue to, you know, play out the rest of the season.
Coach, what's your plans for the bye week?
Basically, you know, a lot of learning and conditioning and, you know, recovery during the bye week. You know, I don't like to hit during the bye week, but I do like to do a lot of film work, a lot of weights and conditioning. You know, we still got to stay in shape, but I don't think we need to be in hitting shape, you know, just because your body's sore from playing through 4 games, actually, if you count the scrimmage game. So they played 4 games in a row. We're going to lay off the hitting. We're going to do a little bit of studying on film today, starting with Hope. Today, actually, I got film ready for him to go. So we're moving forward with Hope today. And hopefully we can get out another victory here in about 2 weeks.
Coach, we appreciate the time you spent with us this morning, and go Leopards.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it. Go Leopards.
UA Cossatot is committed to improving the lives of those in our region by providing quality education, outstanding service, and relevant industry training. Visit cccua.edu today to find out everything you need about UA Cossatot, including how to apply and enroll, all of their programs of study, financial information like how to pay for college, and all of the scholarship opportunities for our community. You can even learn about their technical programs like automotive and diesel service technology and so much more. UA Cossatot has such a wide array of programs available to you, there's no reason to wait. This doesn't just apply to high school graduates either. If you're still in high school, visit cccua.edu and learn about UA Cossatot's high school programs. Sophomores, juniors, and seniors are able to take up to 15 credit hours for free per semester through the Access to Acceleration Scholarship Program. No extra paperwork is required by the student for this scholarship, as the High School Programs Department ensures their information is submitted to state institutions for reimbursement. Medical professions, industrial technology, welding technology, and so much more. Ready to start when you are. Visit cccua.edu today and see what UA Cossatot can offer you. UA Cossatot, if you start here, you can go anywhere.
Let's talk a little bit about the Horatio Lions homecoming.
Oh yeah.
In Horatio last week, Tyler, and the Foreman Gators came to town. That's a huge rivalry. Mm-hmm. So not only do you have homecoming, you've got probably your biggest rival in Foreman coming into town. Foreman got the best of the Lions, though, 34-14. And, you know, Coach Willis, for the last couple of weeks, it's almost, I hate to speak for him, but he almost like he was dreading homecoming.
Yes.
And do you know a coach, Jeff, that likes homecoming?
No.
It's something I never knew. I never knew until we started this podcast. That's 3 years in a row that Coach Willis is like, ugh.
And to kind of double dip, I have seen some coaches who have daughters in homecoming, and they have to escort them.
Yeah.
And speaking of double dipping, I've seen you double dip before. You got a double dip in right now? Okay.
But one of the
nice to be back, guys.
Yeah, yeah, it is. I'm telling you what, it's good to have you here.
Who was the homecoming king? He was on the field, right? I mean, he was a lion himself, right? In his full pads and whatnot, walking with the queen.
That would not surprise me.
Yeah,
you know, I know that I really have a lot of respect for Coach Willis.
Yeah,
he loves those young men. And I know that they were not pleased, and he was not pleased with the outcome Friday. But I'm not sure they could have a better guy at the helm in Horatio than him. Marvin Martinez. Mm. Now, I got to see Marvin Martinez a couple of weeks ago. And Marvin Martinez, I don't know. He's probably, and these are guesses, 5'6", 150, 160 pounds. The toughest-nosed kid I've seen in 3 weeks of football. He will stick his head in there. He will do anything he is asked to do. He played middle linebacker against the Leopards. I think he had 13 tackles or something like that. And they had to move him to the other side of the ball this week because of, you know, injuries and such. He only got 95 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Oh, so that's it.
That screams the word athlete.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So let's talk more about the Friday night and the upcoming games for Horatio with Coach Willis.
Coach Willis of the Horatio Lions, how you doing today, Coach?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm licking my wounds.
Well, rivalry game with Foreman Friday night. And, from the score, I mean, we were watching the score as the game transpired. It sounded like y'all had some opportunities.
Well, we did. I mean, I give all due respect to Foreman. They played well. They played hard. They played harder than we did. We just didn't play well. I mean, I don't know. I've been told a long time ago in my coaching career that homecoming games, you never know what's going to happen. And I don't know if you can I don't know if you can classify it as that or whatever, but I was real disappointed with our performance.
Well, the Gators have shown some potential this year, and I think that they're going to win some ball games. But I know that that's a very emotional time, the homecoming game, and then the rivalry on top of that. Was there any performances that you thought were noteworthy that we could talk about?
I mean, honestly, yes. We, first, like I said, I give a whole lot of kudos and respect to Coach Baker and his crew at Foreman. His kids played hard, man. They've got some things that we just don't have. You know, when you don't have any speed and you're playing somebody that's got speed, it makes you look ugly. So, you know, but I mean, that's a credit to them. I'm not at all taking anything away from them. But you know, we had some kids that played well. We had an injury the week before against the Queen, and we end up kind of rearranging our starting backfield, and we moved Marvin Martinez, who had been a kid that had been playing linebacker for us. In fact, he was probably the last 2 weeks he was our defensive production chart leader.
Oh yeah.
He was a kid that always played hard and always does what you ask him to do. So we had moved him to tailback. He's a senior. First 2 years that he played, he was on the offensive line, and like I said, one of the strongest kids on the team, and he's just small. So we had moved him to the backfield, and he never really had gotten a whole lot of reps. But we ended up moving to the backfield, and he ended up starting at tailback for us and scored 2 touchdowns and 1 extra point, and had 95 yards on 13 carries, and he was pretty impressive. And that's probably if I had to brag about somebody, that'd definitely be one that I could brag about.
Well, I will tell you, I was impressed with the young man at the linebacker spot when he played the Leopards. He's one of those kids that has if you had a kid 6'3" and 215, 220 and had his heart, yeah, he could play college football.
That, I mean, that's it. And that's really why you coach, because the kids like him. He's a great young man. I mean, really is just polite, real intelligent, never – never gets in trouble. He's just a great kid to be around. I love him to death. And, you know, he's the kind of kid that you enjoy coaching.
Wow. Well, Coach, I know that you're on the bye this week. How do you handle bye weeks?
Well, this week we're going to watch a whole lot of film and talk about some things that we didn't do that we should have done. And you know, that's what's frustrating about it. You know, we run a wing T offense, and you know, it's not the easiest thing to run, but the kids, you know, last year, they learned it last year. I mean, we've done a great job, and we did some things Friday night that just I don't really understand. I guess if I knew the answer, I could write me a book and get rich. But we just did some things that were totally out of character.
Well, brother, maybe it was all those pretty girls and the homecoming festivities.
You might be right.
You're talking about 15 to 18 year old young men.
Well, we're going to blame it on that. So, you know, that makes it excusable, I guess, especially in today's time.
Well, Coach, you are always so gracious to spend time with us, and I really appreciate you, and I hope you all enjoy the bye week. And a bye week is a good week for Horatio to work on Horatio, and I hope that goes well for you.
Well, that's definitely our issue, and, you know, it's been our issue since I've been here, and you know, it's something that we're working on.
Coach, you have a great week.
All right, thanks for calling.
You take care.
Let's talk about the Foreman Gators a little bit. Beat Horatio on their homecoming night. Foreman's 2-1 on the year. Probably been a while since the Gators have been on the plus side in the win column, maybe at any point in the season. 34-14 over the Lions. Kind of a revenge game. Last year, Foreman scored first, led most of the game, and then Horatio comes storming back at the end to win. So I know it was something that Coach Baker and his guys were looking forward to. Defense stood out for the Gators on Friday night. They limited the Lions to 136 total yards and had several stars on offense. Landon Shirtless, who I believe we've mentioned every week, had three catches for 64 yards and a touchdown. TT Victron Moore, seven carries, 69 yards, two touchdowns. Kalen Easter, 5, 57-1. And then Hayden Easter, the quarterback, 3 for 3, 64 yards, a touchdown, another 46 yards on the ground. So good effort by the Gators this week. And like everyone else in Southwest Arkansas, except Ashdown, they're on the bye. Gotcha. So they will use this week probably to work on Foreman. And then they get the Junction City Dragons. Junction City, 2-1 on the year. Hard-nosed team, Jeff. They usually put up a pretty good fight.
Yeah, I would say a perennial top 10 team in the state, but they're top 5 nearly every year.
Absolutely. So that'll be
going to be a tough matchup.
It is. It'll be a good test for the Gators. We did get to catch up with Coach Baker, and here's what he had to say.
I'm on the line with Coach Ed Baker, the Foreman Gators. Coach, a big win in a lot of ways Friday night.
Yes, sir. It was a big win for our kids. We kind of had a late lead last year, disappeared. We were up 10 last year when we played Horatio, and up 10 with about 5 minutes left, and they fought back and were able to win the game late. So it's a big turnaround for our kids.
That's awesome. The I know it was a homecoming atmosphere for them. So, you know, and I know that Foreman and Horatio is a big rivalry. And I know as far as non-conference game go, probably no bigger game for you guys than that one.
No, sir, absolutely. That's, that's one that our community looks forward to. Our kids especially look forward to it. So any Horatio game in any sport's a big deal.
Yep. And who excelled on the offensive side of the ball?
We had several standouts offensively. Landon Shirtliff had three catches for 64 yards and one TD. I know that's not a lot for most teams, but for us, that's a lot. TT Victron Moore had seven carries for 69 yards and two touchdowns. And Kalen Easter had five carries for 57 yards and a touchdown. And then Hayden Easter, our quarterback, he was 3-for-3 passing, 64 yards and a touchdown. Again, all those to Landon. And then he had 11 carries for 46 yards and a touchdown. So,
wow.
Good night. So, and so if those guys are doing good, that means our offensive line did a good job. And that's a senior Colton Broomfield at center, and right guard is senior Matthew Gawicki, right tackle, senior Cannon McElhannon. And on the left side, senior Caleb Buchanan at left guard. And then we trade off two tackles on that side, senior Ethan Craner and sophomore Grayson Rumley. So all those guys did a good job.
Well, it sounds like you all came together Friday night, played really well. Anybody on the defensive side stand out?
Keenan Marshall, I think, is our leading tackler. And then Kalen Easter, again, was our second leading tackler. Those guys, we did a really good job defensively, stat-wise. Well, we held them to 136 total yards, 124 rushing. They did a really good job running trap late in the game, fullback dive. So some things we got to work on. Like I said, Keenan Marshall had six tackles and forced a fumble. Kalen Easter had four tackles, Rylan Johnson three, and then Caleb Buchanan two tackles and a forced fumble. So those are the guys that kind of stood out.
Well, Coach, you got 2 weeks now to get ready for the Junction City Dragons. Do you spend 2 weeks on them? Do you spend 1 week on Foreman and 1 week on them? How do you usually handle a bye week?
A little bit of both. So we'll focus on our things we need to work on from Horatio in the first few games, and then we'll start getting into Junction City towards the end of the week, and obviously next week that'll take our full attention.
That is awesome. I know you're glad to be 2-1 headed into conference play, and congratulations on a big win, Coach.
We appreciate it. Our player of the game is going to be Hayden Easter, and again, it was a good performance by everybody on both sides. Always a team effort when you have a good win like that.
Absolutely. Thanks for tuning in with us, and we will talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys having us, and go Gators.
Go Gators.
DeQueen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic here to assist you in meeting all of your veterinary needs in Southwest Arkansas. Think of them as your other family doctor. DeQueen Animal Hospital at 1690 Highway 70 West in DeQueen. You can give them a call at 870-642-8387. That's Vets. To schedule your appointment today, and Ashdown Veterinary Clinic at 139 Southern Drive in Ashdown, you can call them at 870-898-5181. And join the rest of the community that believes in Martin Veterinary Services. Just look at their reviews. 5 stars across the board. You can trust no one better to take care of your furry one's needs, whether big or small. Routine checkups, spay and neutering, medications, and so much more. Place your trust in Martin Veterinary Services and you won't be disappointed. They're huge pillars of the community as well, sponsoring local sports, community events, and fundraisers, so much more. Southwest Arkansas thanks to Queen Animal Hospital and Ashdown Veterinary Services for the excellent care they provide. Martin Veterinary Services, proud sponsor of the Southwest Arkansas Sports Page on the Air.
Let's talk about the Panthers. Panthers, the only team that we cover that is in action this week because of the bye weeks, and they lost a heartbreaker Friday night to the Hope Bobcats.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
The Ashdown led for most of the ball game, and Hope came storming back, tied the game, and then in overtime, Hope scored. Ashdown wasn't able to score, and I know it was a heartbreaker for the Panthers. I got to talk to Jim Cross, and he talked about Riley Williamson, what a good game he had, over 200 yards passing, 75 yards on the ground, nearly 300 yards of total offense.
Wow.
And Taylor Mitchell and Amari Spencer both had big games on defense, but Bryson French had a couple of touchdowns as well. But it wasn't enough to overcome the Bobcats. That's becoming a little bit of a rivalry, too,
yeah,
between
for sure.
The Panthers and the Bobcats. And now Ashdown host Idabel, Oklahoma, this Friday night. Idabel's 0-2 on the year and coming off a thrashing by their rival Broken Bow.
Yeah.
I believe it was 49-14 or something like that. So maybe they catch the Warriors with their spirits down a little bit.
Yeah.
Broken Bow does have a kid that I think everybody in the nation's after.
So. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely. They
a little bit of confusion at the end of the game before overtime on whether it was going to go into overtime or not.
I thought it was a non-conference game?
Something like that. I don't really know. But, yeah, it took a while for them to discern, and that gave Jim a lot of time to fire some ads and figure out what we were going to be doing. And we ended up going to overtime. And,
talking about the Ashdown Hope game, I did lose money betting on the line.
Well, you know, our game got over with a little early, and so we got to listen to a little bit of the end of the Nashville game, a little bit of the end of this game, both very entertaining ball games. And I think Ashdown can get in the win column this week. And we talked to Jim Cross about that very thing.
On the line with Jim Cross, play-by-play man, and all-around good man from the Ashdown Panthers. And Jim, Ashdown had a barn burner with Hope on Friday night.
Yeah, Tony, if you didn't care who won, it was a great game to watch. Both teams had a lot to play for. Both teams were 0-1 coming into the game, and I think both teams kind of used this game as a springboard to kind of see where they stood. And we came out early, and we're up 13-0 at halftime. And matter of fact, had a chance to go up 20-0 on the last play of the half. The play was called back for a penalty. So we go into at halftime 13-0. Now that's the good part, but the bad part, Tony, is we lost our all conference center and middle linebacker, Colton Rowe, for the second half, and he couldn't play. And you know how it is with, especially schools of our size, you take an offensive lineman out and you're playing musical chairs the rest of the night. And we just never could really find what we needed to do the rest of the night. But I give credit to Hope. They made some halftime adjustments. They started running the ball more and took the game to overtime. It was 19-19 in overtime, and Hope was able to score a touchdown, and they held us from scoring. So they came away with a 25-19 victory. But as far as Ashdown, you know, the guys played well, played hard. Toast McCaslin still pleased. It's just that when you have such a low number of guys and a couple guys are out, as you well know, it makes it tough. But we got Ida Bell this week, and talked to the guys yesterday, and they're still upbeat and in the weight room yesterday and working hard. So I anticipate a good game against Ida Bell Friday night.
Well, you know, a lot of people who may just be casual football fans don't know that you think you can just plug and play those offensive linemen, but a center's duties are different from a guard's, and a guard's are different from a tackle. And if you haven't practiced that all week, that can really complicate things.
Yeah, and the center is kind of like the quarterback of the offensive line.
Right.
And he's a 3-year starter as well, and he's kind of the guy that helps the guards and the tackles get in the right spot. So, yeah, it's like you're exactly right. It's not only the physical piece, but also the mental piece of playing a new position. So, yeah, it has to be a well-oiled machine. And Colton Rowe, he's probably one of our best players, and he's a leader on the squad as well. It's interesting watching Colton, though, Tony. Even on the sidelines, he was instructing the linemen. He was coaching them up, wow, even though he couldn't play. So, he was even passing out pickles so they wouldn't cramp.
Man, that's a good dude there.
It is.
So, who had a good game on the offensive side of the ball, Jim?
Well, Riley Williamson played well, our quarterback. He passed for over 200, ran for about 75. Matter of fact, he had a 60-yard run called back. So he really orchestrated the offense well. He's a senior, so he's been around, and he knows all the ups and the downs, and he's such an exciting player. He can scramble, and he can throw on the run, and he made several nice connections with Bryson French. Bryson had a touchdown run and also a touchdown catch at wide receiver, and we put him in the backfield a little bit. He's our most explosive athlete. So those guys played really well on offense. And then on defense, Taylor Mitchell, our outside linebacker, he made several plays, especially in the first half. He played well. And also Amari Spencer, our free safety, made some big-time plays. So those are the four guys that at least stood out to me on Friday night, playing very well for the Panthers.
Well, Jim, you get an Ida Bell team that had a pretty crushing loss this week to their big rival, Broken Bow, 49-14. Maybe you catch them with their dauber down a little bit.
Well, we hope so. They had two kids that have been there for the last 3 years, and both of those guys went D1, Lopez and Larry.
Did you drive over to Oklahoma and make sure they graduated?
I did. I went to the ceremony. And I'm telling you, the Lopez guy, Tony, he's as – and you know I've been doing this a long time. He's as good as a receiver that I've ever seen.
Wow.
And we couldn't cover him for 3 years. And you know, we've had some all-conference guys, D1 guys, and, I mean, he was amazing. So I can see how taking those two guys out of the lineup, I mean, any school of our size, you lose two D1 guys,
yeah,
it's going to be a hard to play. So hopefully we can kind of get back on tune, because we need to get a win before you go into conference. And, you know, going 0-3 in conference, that's kind of tough to overcome.
It is, and for confidence and for other reasons as well. Well, Jim, I feel confident we will talk to you maybe for a half hour next week, as you are the only team of the eight teams we cover. The Panthers are the only team that's playing. The other seven have the week off. So you be ready to go next week.
Well, hopefully we got something good to talk about.
Brother, you have a great week.
You too, Tony. Appreciate you.
Take care.
All right. Now it's time for my favorite part of the show, and that is the awards section, where we give away all of the different players of the game and players of the area and everything. So let's start off with it. DeQueen, man, who is the Shelter Insurance Jeff Woods Agency player of the game?
Captain TFL Kyle Williamson, 9 tackles, a tackle for loss, and a fumble recovery in the win over Lafayette County for the Leopards.
Nice. What is the Ashdown Domtar player of the game?
Riley Williamson, to no surprise to anybody, 275 total yards in the loss to Hope.
Great. Horatio Lyons, Horatio State Bank player of the game.
One of my favorite players, Marvin Martinez, yes, who was a demon on defense and had 95 yards and a couple of touchdowns on the ground for the Lions.
Great. And the Foreman Gators Horatio State Bank player of the game.
T.T. Victron Moore.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. 769-2. I love that name.
All right. Nashville Scrappers Loveless Refrigeration player of the game.
That's going to be Tucker Dixon, 32 carries. That's a day. 162 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Great. How about the Dirks Outlaw player of the game, brought to you by Shelter Insurance agent Todd Moore?
How about Ben Ernest? 4 catches, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then a fumble recovery. A long run for a touchdown.
Yeah. And the Mena Bearcats Union Bank of Mena player of the game.
A name you've heard before, Ryder House, with 3 TDs in the win versus Stigler.
Great. And the Costar River Eagles Union Bank of Mena player of the game.
Quarterback Chris Carterby, another name that we've heard quite a bit.
No kidding. All right, let's move on to the offensive player of the area, brought to you by the great Toad Thumper Lures.
Going to be Nashville's Jacoby Hobson, 25 carries, 215 yards, and 2 touchdowns for the
wild,
young man.
Wild. And the defensive player of the area, brought to you by Horatio State Bank.
Going
to
be the Outlaws' Mason Smith. He only had 12 tackles and a pick in their win versus Parker's Chapel.
Nice. And the coveted player of the area, who's going to get a shirt made by Mud Creek Designs.
Well, Landon Wise was unstoppable Friday night. 13 carries, 180 yards. That's about 14 a carry,
yeah,
and 2 touchdowns against the Leopards. Could have been more, but, you know, with the score, and he had a sensational ball game.
Great. And we move on to the DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week. I think this one's already predetermined.
This was a really tough choice for it. Me and Jeff about come to blows, well. But Idabel, Oklahoma, visits Ashdown, and awesome, that's our DeQueen Motorsports Game of the Week.
That should be a great game.
Yes.
Yeah. At Pilgrims, our vision guides everything we do to be the best and most respected company in our industry, creating the opportunity of a better future for our team members. From education and recreation to healthcare and social services, Pilgrims invests in meaningful community projects that have lasting benefits for our team members and our neighbors. We have provided meaningful investments in projects that will have a lasting impact for generations to come. We are also building the largest free college tuition program in rural America, Better Futures. Pilgrims is providing team members and their child dependents the opportunity to pursue their higher education dreams for associate degrees and trade certificates at community and technical colleges, tuition free. Opportunity awaits. Join our talent community today and visit jobs.pilgrims.com. And that about wraps up all of the area's high school football coverage for this week. And now we get to move on to some more national topics.
How about NFL, Jeff? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Go, Pack, go.
How about those Packers?
Man, they are rolling. they are rolling.
Wow.
I've got a question here. Are they the best team in football right now? And who's around them if they're not?
Right now.
The Bills?
Right now, I would have to say yes, but we're really
early. I understand that. That's good sports talk radio, you know, to talk about who's the best team after three games.
They picked up a defensive player. I don't know if y'all have ever heard the name of Michael Parsons or not.
But I think I've heard of him.
He came from somewhere that, you know.
Roll-ash Greg next week, where it came from. But, man, if the Cowboys are just wanting to get rid of something they feel like is maybe a distraction.
Yeah.
The Packers couldn't have done any better.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I still one of those people, though, that you think you got to wait till see who the Cowboys get with those draft picks before you judge the trade. And I think the Packers have put all their chips in the middle of the table, and I think they're in an all-in mode.
Mm.
And if they don't come out of with a Super Bowl in the next two or three years, then...
And I'm not saying it's a bad move by the Cowboys by any means. Because like you say, you see what people do with the picks that they get in the future, but the Packers got what they needed right now. I mean, if he can stay healthy, everybody needs that pass rush off the edge. I mean...
So the Cowboys have some good draft picks for the next draft, right?
Two first round picks in each draft.
Is there anybody that you saw or that you could imagine? You know, I mean, do you have any speculation at all?
Well, the thing is, the Packers are going to be really good, which means those draft picks will be really low. So they're not going to get a superstar there unless they get a diamond in the rough. But at the end of the first round, you're still going to be drafted solid football players.
Mm.
And that's
where you can get some of those surprises. You know, somebody that maybe dropped. You know,
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, it just depends on how they
Randy Moss
grade people out. And,
sure.
I mean,
yeah, there's been some hitters, right?
At the end of that first round that people were scared of for one reason or another. Man, the Steelers. Yeah, I think they were fortunate to win Week One, and they just looked terrible against the Seahawks. And
really,
you know, I went from being cautiously optimistic to now I'm going to Dr. Walker and he's going to give me something. So
so what about a winning season potentially?
Dr. Walker's going to tell him 10 wins.
Ain't no way. Ain't no way we're getting to 10 wins. If 10 wins is what it takes to keep T. Tomlin's job, he may as well call the moving company today.
With
their schedule, they're playing the NFC North and out of conference, and then you've got the Ravens twice, the Bengals twice. There's no way they're winning 10
But going with the betting line, I'm going to say he doesn't have a losing season.
Hmm.
Well, they're either going to go 8-8-1 or 9-8 then. And that's probably not good enough. Joe Burrow getting hurt. Probably out for the season 3 months, unless you're in the Super Bowl hunt at the end of the year, is probably out for the season. And if you're in the Super Bowl hunt at the end of the year, you're probably going to stick with the hot hand in Jake Browning.
I was just saying the Bengals backup is, but you answered that.
Absolutely.
Question.
And he's a really good one. I think in games he started back in was it 23 that Burrow was hurt? I think he was 4-3. Hmm. So he is not the worst backup you could have. You could have who the Steelers have got for backups.
Where does Burrow rank in the league as far as quarterbacks?
He's
top five.
Yeah,
top five.
Definitely top five. Yeah. Absolutely.
And when him and Chase are clicking, he may be top one.
Who's your way too early Super Bowl picks? We may do this every week.
Yeah.
Greg and I did it last week, and I'm still sticking with Bills Packers.
Oh, I got to go with two teams?
Yeah. The Super Bowl usually has two teams in it.
Chiefs?
It's not.
I just thought you meant one team that might make the Super Bowl.
No one has a bye during the Super Bowl.
Chiefs-Eagles.
Chiefs-Eagles? All right. You just don't want to jinx your Packers, do you?
Wow. Okay.
What do you think, Tom?
I don't know which teams are in the conferences. I'm going to go. Yeah, exactly.
The Canucks.
Yeah. I just got advertised a bunch of NFL stuff for the past couple days. And then obviously the Bills is one that I saw was like, whoa, they're hot. So,
yeah. Yeah. And they're already up two games on Kansas City and have a win over them.
Yeah.
So actually three games up on Kansas City for home field. Home field in the playoffs, especially in Buffalo,
I was gonna say,
is a huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm got my eye on them.
Yeah. College football, and I posted this on Facebook. You know, just a couple more losses, we could pray for a couple, and Notre Dame will be out of the top 20.
Will they?
I don't know, man. They're 21 this week and they're 0-2.
Oh, man.
You talk about a team that gets the benefit of every doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, it ought to be a rule. If you're ever beaten by Marshall, you can't be in the top 25 ever again.
Well, how many years ago was that?
It's only been a couple
only
years.
Only a couple years. Yeah. Yeah.
So they're your most overrated college team?
Oh, by far. And okay. And you could ask me that 20 years ago or 20 years from now, and the answer is going to be the same. What, it's Notre Dame.
How big of a difference is it from last year to this year? Do they lose a lot?
They lost their first game last year, and then they made the
college football playoff.
Yeah, yeah.
And if they win out from here, even though they don't play a team that's currently ranked, they'll probably make the college football playoff again because the networks will hold their breath until they put Notre Dame in.
Right.
Which is not right.
Right.
As far as overrated college football teams, I'm going to take the Texas Longhorns.
Mm.
Arch Manning is on my list to talk about.
Well, okay, because I was going to say something about him, so if you want to segue to that, we can.
He's looked very average, and I think that's being generous.
But, can I throw a but in there?
You sure can. That's why you're here.
I posted this on Facebook.
You're the buddiest person I know.
I don't have much of one. You can edit that out if you want.
No, you're good.
I remember Hank Hill had the same problem.
Yeah.
I remind myself a lot of Hank.
Me too.
But back to Arch Manning.
Yeah.
I posted this after week one when they were playing Ohio State, which I rooted for the Longhorns because I can't root for Ohio State.
And right.
For me to say I'm pulling for the Longhorns is a huge deal because I never root for them.
Yeah.
But I respect Arch Manning in this world of I'm not happy where I'm at. I'm going somewhere else. You know, he's waited his turn.
Yeah.
He sat on the bench. He could be playing anywhere in the nation, and he's waited. Now, it may not be panning out for him like he thought, but, I mean, I respect his decision to.
Did you see where Ima Leiva got the UCLA coach fired?
I did see that.
Oh, man.
I did see
we
that.
We hadn't talked about Ima Leiva in a long time.
I'm going to get you fired.
I'm 0-3 now is what he is.
I'm going to leave a coach after hanging out to dry.
This guy's my favorite.
And nobody else's.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was a kid, UCLA was a powerhouse. Yeah. And now they have talk about being average.
Well, fill me in quickly about Arch Manning. Is that.
Well, he probably could have not met the expectations that were for him. So for me to say he's average is probably not fair. Jeff's probably right. The expectations attached to him just by his last name.
Yeah, so he is whose son is he?
He is the
Coopers.
Yeah, he's Coopers.
He's a nephew.
Okay. Hayden and Eli's brother.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's his son. And, you know. And
so, like, a lot of pressure, a lot of eyes.
Oh,
like,
he's
this
got
guy,
the lineage, you know, to be
sure.
Supposed to be the next great thing. And that's what they had him projected to be. And maybe he will be. Mm-hmm. But
not yet.
Like Tony said, not right now. I mean, and he stepped into Texas quarterback. You might throw somebody in here with me, but that's going to be one of the top five positions in the nation. You know, Ohio State.
Yes.
Alabama, Georgia nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, those teams.
Maybe LSU.
LSU.
How much are they paying him?
That's a good question.
He's making more now, I figure, than he would if he had entered the draft.
There's no doubt about that.
Oh, man.
And the thing is, nobody really knows how much they're paying him. So who we talked about the Super Bowl. Who do you think is the best team in college football right now? I think it's heads and shoulders right now, Ohio State.
Mm.
You're going to make me say it, aren't you?
I am.
Ohio State.
All right. Coach Ernest, you owe me.
That's an interesting first game too, and I got to keep bringing it up. It's the number one versus like being Texas being the number one, but being the underdog is just bizarre.
Yeah. And then Ohio State wins that game.
Yeah,
Ohio State. If you're in a Big Ten, you're playing a good schedule, but I see them rolling right through, and then you got the hiccup with Michigan. And I'm sure Ohio State will take a national championship and lose to Michigan every year. But
some of them. Some of them, I promise you, would rather beat Michigan than win the national championship.
Wow. What about the Hogs this weekend, man? If they'd have played any defense at all, they'd probably come out of there with a win.
Yeah.
I was rooting for him because when Lane Kiffin loses, America wins.
And one thing I've mentioned, and people would have had to watch the game to know what I'm talking about, really, and I don't complain about officiating a whole lot, you know, because I don't think that makes or breaks a game. But just before we missed that last field goal of 50 yards or whatever, obvious pass interference call was not called. We might score, we might not, but even if we kick a field goal, it's not going to be a 50-yarder.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought that was a big turning point in the game.
What do you think, Tony? Cope or no?
I thought it was a pass interference.
Okay.
I sure did.
He couldn't even reach for the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, because they had him wrapped up.
And if it happens in the middle of the second quarter when it's 7-7, nobody remembers it.
Yeah.
But in the situation that Jeff's talking about, it was a big call.
Yeah. And another thing I thought was a mistake by Ole Miss is when they got the ball the next to last time, I said, we don't get the ball back. And they threw three incomplete passes and gave us the ball back with plenty of time on the clock.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't understand that, but that's why I'm doing this.
Our buddy Greg was at the game, so it'll be interesting to see what he has to say about it next week. I did get to talk to him some this weekend. He said one of, if not the best, pregame, tailgating atmospheres.
I asked him about that last week when I talked to him. I said, I've always wanted to go to the Grove.
Grove, yeah. And he said everyone down there was super nice, was good to at least to him, and it was a very enjoyable experience other than the final score.
Mm. And I'm really not doing my due diligence here because I'm drawing a blank on Arkansas's running back right now, our starting tailback. What's his name?
That's not Amaliva.
Anyway, he needs to be touching the ball 25 times a game.
I mean, what's the deal with that? Why do we talk about this? And I apologize, coaches. I've never coached anything above youth sports. But if something is working, why do you quit doing it?
I even had somebody, when I said that the other day, they looked at it from a different perspective than me. They said, there's a few times when he touched the ball and Alabama running back comes to mind because that's what he reminds you of. I mean, big kid, fast, strong, and I mean, he makes things happen when it's in his hands.
We're talking Braylon Russell or Washington?
Washington.
Yeah. Washington.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yep.
And Russell should be a great complimentary running back to him. And I don't know. You know,
it's just not working.
Well, Russell entered the portal, came back to Arkansas, entered the portal, came back to Arkansas, all within about a week and a half span. And he's liable to enter the portal again because he'll work out for somebody. It's just not us right now.
Yeah, right, right.
You might have missed this, Jeff, because SportsCenter didn't lead with it yesterday, but the Pirates were eliminated from the playoffs yesterday.
I have not even kept up with anybody from the last. Man, I'll tell y'all what, this part-time job that I've taken on takes up way too much of my time.
Yeah.
I'm not getting to keep up with sports like I'd like to.
Yeah.
As y'all can tell by me missing a few episodes here.
Yeah.
I just, when I saw that, I thought, well, I knew this in April. Why is this just coming out now that the Pirates didn't have a chance to make the playoffs?
I don't even know how the playoff races are lining up. Speaking of baseball.
Yeah.
Did I see where Bobby Cox passed away?
He did.
Man, and he was a Atlanta Brave legend.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I apologize to the Cox family. I was never a Bobby Cox fan, mostly because he managed the Braves when they beat the Pirates.
Yeah.
In the
Sid Bream days.
Well, here's as it stands right now, the Blue Jays lead the East by 5 games over the Yankees. The Tigers, you can get you caught up. Tigers lead the Guardians by 6 games in the Central. And believe it or not, the Mariners lead the Astros by a half game and the Rangers by 3.5 games in the American League. In the National League, the Phillies have a 13-game lead on the Mets in the East. The Brewers have a 5-game lead on the Cubs, a 16-game lead on the Reds, and a 26-game lead on the Pirates.
Reds have been eliminated?
No, they've not been eliminated yet. Really? They're still in wild card contention. And the Dodgers lead the Padres by two games. Let's check this out on the Red Legs, because my dad's always asking. The Red Legs are two games out of the wild card at 75-75. Arizona's also 75-75. They're chasing the Mets, who are the last wild card at 77-73.
I also saw, speaking of baseball players that have passed away, this morning I believe I saw where Roy Hobbs, Robert Redford.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. I saw that too. Robert Redford was a great actor.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite Robert Redford movie is probably one that not many people have heard of, but it's a great watch if you're looking for an old movie that was really good that just didn't get any traction at the time, of Sneakers.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've seen that.
But I think Dan Aykroyd was in it.
I always think of Roy Hobbs and Sundance Kid.
Yeah. Butch Sidney Poitier Sundance. Was in it. It was a good movie. And, I saw that this morning as well. Well, brother, do you all have anything else?
I think that's it, man. We're going to bring a special episode coming soon.
I thought that's what today was.
We'll get you on.
That's how we got Tuttle here. We told him it was a special episode.
Yeah. I've got a big debate I want to bring to the show. We're just teasing it right now. I'm not going to say what it is, but you guys get your, you know.
Are we going to get Cody here for it?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I need somebody to back me up.
Well, he's not going to back you up. He's going to say Bird.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter the question.
Yeah. Whatever is Bird. That's exactly right.
All right. But yeah, obviously, we appreciate all the listeners for this week and all the weeks, of course. And make sure that you go visit our Facebook page and give us a like and a comment on any of our videos. If you like what we're doing, send us a message. Like, follow, all that kind of stuff on the social medias. You can check it out, Spotify. Make sure you subscribe and all that. Go ahead, Jeff.
Back to the Outlaw T-Mobile contest.
Yes.
Social media.
Uh-huh.
Go to social media. Do anything Derek's Outlaws. Hashtag 5N5GL. Hashtag sweepstakes. Hashtag Derek's Outlaws 1. And mention T-Mobile.
That's right.
I mean, that helps out everything.
So that's kind of how you...
Yeah, that's how we get the mentions and likes and stuff on Facebook.
I'm so shocked you remembered that. Something fired in your brain.
Yeah, I did.
Trust me, I've said it so many times over the last 2 months. So, awesome. And we appreciate everybody that's taking part in that and helping out.
Yeah. So they just got 5. Now they're looking for 25 and then looking for a million. I love it. Awesome. Well, we also want to thank all of our sponsors as well. Shelter Insurance Agent Jeff Woods, Shelter Insurance Agent Todd Moore, Domtar, Horatio State Bank, Loveless Refrigeration, Union Bank of Mena, Toad Thumper Lures, Mud Creek Designs, of course, DeQueen Motorsports, Martin Veterinary Services, Cossetot, UA Cossetot, of course, and Pilgrims. Our title sponsor, so
York.
We appreciate all them. Yeah, York Gary, of course, and Hometown Poultry Supply. Hopefully, I'm not missing any. I don't think I did.
No, I think you did great.
Yeah, we nailed it. There you go.
That's
so.
A young mind.
Hey, it's going away. It's not going to last. But yeah, of course, we appreciate the listeners. We appreciate the sponsors, and most of all, like Greg usually says,
we appreciate the young people, man. We wouldn't do it without you guys, and.
We would, but it wouldn't be near as interesting.
That's exactly right. Nobody would listen. Yeah. So we're going to see you next week.
See you next week.